Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? Look at the person sitting next to you and say, I'm doing good. I guess proper grammar is I'm doing well for all the English teachers in the room. As we've been saying, we're starting a new message series today entitled Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? And how do we get blessed? What we're going to talk about for these next few weeks, I think it applies to every, there's feedback up here. If you could maybe check other microphones that are on. It applies to every area of our life. And this isn't just one area of our life. It's not just blessed money. It's not just a blessed bank account. It's not just blessed paychecks. It's a blessed life. It's about us, our lives being blessed. I want you to turn with me to Scripture, and I want you to go ahead and find Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're going to jump right in pretty quickly. But here's the thing, is when we take in members here at Christ Church, one of the things that we say is we quote from the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and it talks in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, and it says, if you follow the words of the Lord, if you follow what he has to say, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. It goes into a lot of details of what all the Lord's going to bless you. He's going to bless your basket and your kneading bowl. If you brought your kneading bowl today, the Lord wants to bless it. You'll be blessed in your body, the fruit of your body, your children, you'll be blessed in the increase of your herds. Obviously, he's talking to agricultural people, but he's saying you'll be blessed in your job. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you be defeated in one place, and they will run from you in 7 ways. It begins to define for us what blessing looks like. He'll command the blessing on your storehouses and everything that you put your hand to, he will bless you in the land that the Lord is going to give you. So here's what I want to say to you. There's still something yet ahead for you. There's still blessing ahead for you. There's still some things that God wants to do in your life. There's some places where he wants to take you, and he wants you to be blessed. And so today, we're going to talk for a few moments, and we're going to talk about what it means to be blessed. I want you to start out with me in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And there's a couple of phrases I want you to pay attention to in Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to be reading in verse number 1. Are you ready? Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you used, it will be measured back to you. Are you ready? No, I want you to say the first line with me, if you would. Judge not that you be not judged. Will you say it with me again? Judge not that you be not judged. And now I want you to jump down to the second half of verse number 2. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Are you ready? Just say it with me again. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I want you to kind of commit this to short-term memory, okay? If you would just kind of pay attention to it. Now, I want to read the two of those together. Are you ready? Judge not that you will not be judged, that you be not judged. Say it with me again. This time I'll read the actual words that are on the paper. Here we go. Judge not that you be not judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, let me ask a question. Is money mentioned in this verse? No, money is not mentioned in this verse at all. There's no mention of bank accounts. There's no mention of gold. There's no mention of silver. It's talking about there's a principle that's in the universe. You see, there are some principles that are out there. And listen, they're not just for holy people and righteous people. There are some principles that are just out there. You know, we call it the law of physics, but you know, the law of gravity, it doesn't matter if you're saved or not, it works. You know, it just does. You know, there are some principles in this world that they work, whether you're saved or not, whether you're godly or not. And this is one of those universal principles. Judge not that you be... The people who follow other religions, they call it karma. What goes around comes around. Whatever you do is going to come back to you. So here it says, judge not that you be not judged, because with whatever measure you judge other people, it's going to come back to you. Now, I want you to turn over with me, if you would, to Luke, the 6th chapter and the 37th verse. We're going to start reading there. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 37th verse. And this would be a parallel passage. This would be something maybe where there's a little bit more context to what was being talked about. Luke, the 6th chapter, 37th verse. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Okay, so there now all of a sudden we see Luke is writing here, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, if you look at this, it's not just context of money or giving. It's talking about, listen, it's talking about judgment. For what you judge, it's going to be measured back to you in judgment. Don't condemn, because when you condemn others, it's going to be measured back to you in condemnation. Don't criticize other people, because when you do that, it's going to come back to you. And then in the middle of that, there's this passage. Now, here's the deal about the interesting thing about this is, I want you to pay attention to this. Does the word money actually appear in this passage? Does the word money appear there? No, it does not. Most of the time when I hear this passage preached on, I hear it preached on out of context. Most of the time, people that talk about this, they quote this only in the context of money. And most of the time, when you hear the word give, it's in the context of money. When you hear the word generosity, it's in the context of money. I heard an interview recently, and a man was being interviewed. He's pastor of a church, and they asked him how often he spoke on giving. And he said, I preach every week on giving. And they said, you talk about money every week? And he said, no, you didn't ask me if I talk about money. You asked me if I talk about giving. He said, everything I talk about has to do with giving. I can't talk about grace without talking about giving, because God so loved the world that he gave. It has nothing to do with money. God so loved the world. So it is possible, if you would, to give and it not be in the context of money. He went on to say, I can't preach about marriage without talking about giving. He said, if you're in a marriage and you don't learn how to give, your marriage will be unsuccessful. Man, it's just great principles. Now, here's the interesting thing. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 21st verse, here's what it says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This whole context of this is really about what's in your heart. Because what's in your heart comes out of your heart. If judgment is in your heart, judgment's going to come out of your heart. And when that takes place, there's going to be a harvest of judgment that comes back to you. So it's all about the heart. I try not to get you guys to repeat stuff with me too much, but I want you to say these words. It's all about the heart. Will you say it with me? It's all about the heart. You can say, man, is he going to talk about money today? I mean, the church is just after my money. No, honestly, the church is not after your money. But I will tell you this, God is after your money. He's after your money. And here's the reason why God is after your money is because where your money is, your heart is. And God is after your heart. God's after your heart. And when God gets your money, he gets your heart. When God gets your heart, he gets your money. Here's the deal. Let's say if anybody here own any stock, you don't have to put your hand up. But if anybody here owns any stock, I bought some stock a couple of years ago. Somebody recommended, hey, you might want to take a look at this. So I went and bought some stock a couple of years ago. And honestly, I never paid attention to that stock until I bought stock. And then all of a sudden, I had something invested in it. I had some treasure in it. And so every day I was like, oh, it's down. Oh, it's up. Oh, it's down again. Oh, it's up again, you know? And the reason why is because where my treasure was, my attention was, my heart was. It's all about the heart. It's about your heart. Everything that we're going to talk about is a heart issue. When Jesus is talking in this passage in Luke, the sixth chapter, he's talking about judgment. He's talking about condemnation. He's talking about forgiveness. Don't judge, because if you judge, you'll be judged. Don't condemn, because if you condemn, you'll be condemned. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. Let me just read it to you one more time. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, here's the deal is every time I hear this passage talked about, it's talking about in the context of money. And here's what he's saying is, if you give judgment, and we don't ever put it in this context, if you give judgment, it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you condemn, you will be given back to you condemnation, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you are unforgiving, given back to you will be unforgiveness in your life. The Bible actually says, will men give back to you? You will get back in your life unforgiveness, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's in every area of our life, because in every area of our life, there's the principle of whatever you put out there, you're going to get it back in great measure. A farmer knows this, and the Bible's filled with the passages that talk about sowing and reaping, that if you put a seed out there, you're going to get back. But here's the deal about it is I can take an apple seed, but when I put the apple seed in the ground, it's just one seed. But when I get it back, it comes back in the form of a tree that is filled with fruit, that is filled with more seed. So one seed produces many seeds. In your life and in my life, the emotions that we have in our heart, the place that we live our lives from, it's one seed. But when we put it out there, it comes back to us in a harvest. It comes back to us in a harvest of whatever that one seed is. It comes back to us in many seeds and much fruit from whatever it is in our hearts. Several years ago, I was talking with a young mother, and she had brought her children into the office, and she was talking to me, and we were in the office. She was in the next room, and her kids were in the next room, in that middle room there, and we're talking, and she's like, my kids, they don't listen to me. They disrespect me all the time. They talk back to me and they yell at me. And right then, somewhere in there, like one of her kids got her attention. She's like, Johnny, shut up. And honestly, I was like, you're receiving back to you from your children, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Yell at your children, and eventually they will yell back at you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So here's the deal about all of this is that whatever it is that you put out, it comes back to you. Now, there are some places in the Bible that this applies to, and it applies to even when it comes to our finances. The Bible says if you give, it's going to come back to you. In fact, there are places in the Bible, and when we're talking about being blessed, our lives being blessed, it's not just one aspect, it's every aspect, it's relationship. It's our work being blessed. It's our family being blessed, our household being blessed. And here's one of the things that the Bible says very clearly. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to help somebody. And in the opportunity to help them, they were in really quite a difficult predicament. And in my life, I had saved some money up and I had the opportunity to walk in to them one day and they were about to lose everything. I had the ability to walk in one day and write a check for several thousand dollars and help them get out of the tough spot that they were in. And it was just a layer. It wasn't that they were bad money managers. It was just that things had layered on and layered on and layered on. And I was able to walk in and give them a really generous gift. And I have to tell you, of all the days in my life that I've felt blessed, I felt blessed that day. I felt blessed the day that I was able to give. The day that I was able to give even more than sometimes when I've actually received. In fact, receiving for me is a little bit awkward. You know, sometimes people give you something like, I don't know what to say about that. Thank you. You shouldn't have done that. Thank you. And I mean, it's awkward for me because ultimately I know that I'm more blessed when I give. Now, here's the deal. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses here and I'm going to make good use of your time because I think there's some principles here that I would love for you to walk away from this service in today. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. And listen what the word of the Lord has to say. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your, somebody say the next word. It's a heart issue. It's all about the heart. You shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand before your poor brethren, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Whatever he needs. Now, I'm going to read on. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your, somebody say it, wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye will be evil against your poor brother and give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Now, let me just talk about this for a second, in case you don't understand what this is talking about. In the day of the children of Israel, God had instituted that every 7 years, all debt was eradicated. All debt was wiped out. It was forgiven. They called it the year of Jubilee. You can kind of understand that, you know? The year of Jubilee, every 7 years, all debt. Some of you need a year of Jubilee. Can somebody say like an amen? You know, it's like I've been paying on that credit card for 14 years. A year of Jubilee. Now I want you to listen to what he says, and I love this. He says, if somebody comes to you and asks you to lend him money, and you don't do it because like 6 months down the road is the year, it's the celebration of Jubilee. And if you lend him a lot of money, he doesn't even have 6 months enough time to give it back to you. Listen to the words that God says. Beware lest there is a wicked thought in your heart. He's basically saying that your selfishness, your willingness to be selfish in this matter leads to sin. It's wicked. He calls it wicked. If your brother comes and asks to borrow money and says, like, my crops are bad and I'm, you know, my car broke down and the refrigerator broke down at the same time and I'm just having a really bad year. If somebody comes and he's saying, if you want to, if you have the money to lend them, then the reality is if you're saying like the year of Jubilee is 6 months away and he won't have time to pay me back, I'm not going to do it. He's saying it's a wicked, it's a selfish motivation in your heart. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. I just want to say he's dealing with the heart. It's all about your heart. It's all about my heart. What's in our heart? I heard the story of a college professor that was being asked about people and their heart towards giving. And they were talking about finances in the church, and the conversation came up, and one of the students asked, why does the church do this? And the professor kind of turned it around back on him and said, why do you think that God implemented giving? Why do you think that God implemented generosity? Why do you think that God implemented this system, and it's not just in one place, it's all throughout his word? And the answer came back from these Bible students, ministerial students, the answer came back was so that they would be able to fund the gospel, that they would fund the work of the Lord. And the college professor said to them, do you actually think that God needs your money to keep the lights in heaven on? Do you actually think that God needs your money for the kingdom of God to advance? Because the kingdom of God doesn't advance off of one person's money. He went on to say this, and this is a huge point, and I think you might want to write this down. God did not create giving for his own sake. He created, implemented giving for our sake. Because, see, it's more than just an activity. It's more than just funding ministry. It's the one singular area that begins to work on our selfishness and our greed more than any other area. It begins to deal with what's in our heart. So I have some lines there. I want you to write this one in, if you would. The blessed life has to deal with a selfish heart. A blessed life has to deal with a selfish heart. Much of the preaching that I hear today about this subject is about give and you'll get. Give and you'll get. I can remember my poor father, and my father was so generous, but I can remember him watching preachers on television, and they would be preaching, and they would talk about, like, you know, give and you're going to get back 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, you know? And it was like, man, it's like, it's foolproof investment. Give and you'll get it back. And finally, one day, like, we started having a conversation and realized this is not about getting back. Giving actually begins to deal with the selfishness in our heart, the selfishness of what we want and our motivation. I mean, imagine God sitting up in heaven wanting to bless his children and saying, hey, think about this. My children finally got the principle of getting. My children finally got the principle of getting for themselves, as opposed to God sitting up in heaven and saying, there's my children down there, and they've finally gotten the principle of giving. Of giving their lives, of giving generously to one another. It's a revelation of giving. It's Valentine's Day, and let me just talk about Valentine's Day here for a second. And I know that some folks went out Friday night and some went out Saturday night, and there are some, obviously, some people that are out this morning celebrating Valentine's Day. But back when I was younger, not so much anymore, but back when I was younger, I saw something take place, and it was while I was dating, and it still happens. It happens with friends. It happens with my sisters. It's a ladies' issue, and I'm gonna expose it here. Ladies, let me just tell you, when it comes to generosity and giving, I'm a pretty generous and pretty giving person, but there's one place that I do not want to share or give. I do not want to give you my food. I have been out to dinner with people, and it's not guys. You could be sitting at a table full of, and as soon as you order, like, one of the ladies is going to say, I wanted that, so I'm glad you ordered it. I'll just have some of yours. No, you will not have some of mine. You pull through the drive-thru and you order, like, I'll have the number two with the extra large fries, and I'll take a large Diet Coke because it kind of evens it out. And what do you want? I'll have a chicken sandwich plain. You don't want fries? No, I'll just have some of yours. No, you will not have some of mine. And while I'm there, let me just say it clearly. The fries that fall to the bottom of the bag, they're mine too. You can pray for me. The Lord's dealing with a selfish heart. When it comes right down to it, giving exposes selfishness. If you want to live a blessed life, you're going to have to deal with selfishness, a selfish heart. Number two, God wants to deal with a grieving heart. If you're going to live a blessed life, God's going to have to deal with a grieving heart. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, same chapter. I want to read down just a little bit further. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Your heart should not be grieved to him because for this thing. Now, what thing is he talking about? He's talking about when you give, when you're generous. The Lord, your God, will bless you in all your works. Now, he'll bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. He'll bless you not just in finances. He's going to bless you in all your works. If you give with the right heart, God will bless you in all you do. He'll cause your marriage to flourish. He'll cause relationship with children to flourish if you deal with what's in your heart. Have you ever been to the place where like you give, make a pledge for the building fund, give your tithes, and the next day, like you have a flat tire. Next day, like the air conditioner goes out in the house, you know? And you know what? Immediately, like, man, I wish I hadn't given. That's what he's saying. When you give, don't allow yourself to live in regret afterwards. Don't be grieved that you were giving, that you were generous. You know, I'm sorry. Like, just bear with me, because sometimes I kind of interrupt myself while I'm thinking. I got to thinking about the fact that I'm here today and I'm going out this afternoon, and I just realized like I don't have any cash to go out to dinner today. And so that's the deal. Jeff, that's $100. Man, that's pretty awesome. That's awesome, guys. You know, give him a big hand, man. That's very cool. Thanks. Okay, let me talk to you about this. Do you know why Jeff was so willing to run up here and give me $100? Because I gave it to him before church. It was my money to begin with. And so it was easy for him to run up here and give it away. Was it? He's like, maybe it wasn't. So, yeah. It was easy for him to run up here and give me this $100 is because his heart was not grieved because he didn't consider it to be his own. You see, God blesses us. There isn't a person in this room that can't say, like, I'm not blessed. Like, God blesses us. He blesses us. And in the process of that, many times what happens is he asks us to give, and when we give, we're grieved because we think it was ours to begin with, and it was his. So you're going to have to deal with a grieving heart. Okay, here's the third one. Are you ready? Here you go, Pastor Jeff. I'm going to want that back. Here we go. Number three, develop a generous heart. Deuteronomy 15, verse 14, you shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. Now pay attention. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You will give to him. I heard this recently, and I love this saying. When you were born selfish. When you were born again, you were born again generous. You were born selfish, you were born again generous. You see, God wants us to be generous. He wants you and me to be like him, and he's generous. And look back in Luke, the sixth chapter, in the 31st verse. Give to everyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, also do to them likewise. God wants you to be generous. If the one thing in this world, and you, if you don't think like we were born selfish, we were born greedy. There's one principle that every parent has a hard time teaching their children. You know what that is? Sharing. Sharing. You have a little boy and invite the little neighbor boy to come over to be with you for the morning, and they're playing. And as soon as your boy sees that he's playing with the truck, your boy drops what he's playing with and goes over like, I want that. It's mine. He wasn't even playing with it, but now all of a sudden somebody else needs it, and it's like, it's mine. So the little boy, because it's not his to begin with, he goes over and says, okay. And the neighbor boy goes over and finds something else to play with. And when he finds something else to play with, as soon as that happens, like your child goes over and like, give me that, it's mine. It's the same way that we are. You know what God is saying to us? He's saying to us, you're going to have to get past. You're going to have to grow up past this. You're going to have to mature past this. If you were born of God, then he wants you to be like him. He wants you to grow to be more like him. God so loved the world that he gave. Your father is generous. Your father is giving. And if you want to be like him, you've got to be generous. I heard a story, and I'm going to close here. Sean, if you'll come back. I heard a story about a little girl that had gotten in a car after Sunday school, after children's church, and she got in the car, and she said to her mom, she said, Mommy, did you know that there was a woman that only had 2 pennies, and she gave both pennies to Jesus? And the mom said, yeah, it's an awesome story. Yeah, that's a great story. And the little girl said, I want to give something to God. So the mom said to her, well, why don't you pray and ask God, and he'll tell you what you could give. So she didn't realize that the little girl was going to pray right then. And the little girl put her head down, folded her hands, and the mom was just so touched. And after like a minute, the little girl went, what? You want me to give what? No, I don't want to give little Betty. No, I don't want to give little Betty my favorite dog. Oh, you meant little baby. Oh, yeah, I'll give little baby. I don't like that doll to start with. Now, here's the deal about that is it's the way we are. We want to trade off to God the stuff that isn't important in our heart. I'll give you the stuff that's not important in my heart, but he's after your heart. In these next few moments, I'm going to put a challenge out to you, because I want to put a challenge out to you about your heart. Here's the fourth thing. Are you ready? The last one is develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15 says, you shall remember that you were a slave in... You'll remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day. I command you to do this thing. What is the thing he's talking about? Being generous. Don't forget, I'm commanding you to be generous, because you forget that you were a slave. Every once in a while, it would be worth our while to remind ourselves that we were slaves. Every once in a while, it would be worth our while to remember that once we were chained in sin, and God in his great generosity sent his son to give everything for us. And he says, I'm commanding you every once in a while to stop and pause. And we don't talk about, I know the Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but here's what he says. He says, just remember that you were once a slave. And when you remember what you once were and what you now are, it will cause your heart to be generous. And all of you, you have a story. Every person in this room, you have a story of how God saved you and redeemed you and brought you into a new place. I heard somebody recently talking about a previous life of addiction, and that they had received a phone call from a friend of theirs, and this person is now well into their 50s, and they had received a phone call from a friend of theirs, and that friend said, our two buddies, our age, died recently. One of them died from an overdose of drugs, and one of them died from suicide. And he said, my heart was struck to the core because he said, I had done drugs with both of them. And in fact, the one I had introduced to drugs. And he said, my heart was sad about it. But he said, then for a second, he said, I stopped and I thought, like, that could have been me had it not been for the redeeming grace of Jesus. Some of you, if you look back over your shoulder of what your life could have been without Jesus, if you look back over your shoulder and saw what God has done and how far he's brought you and where you could have ended up, but you're not there. He said, look over your shoulder and then if it's in your heart, what's in your heart counts. Then don't be afraid to give. In these next few moments, we're going to do something that I don't know that I've ever done like this before in church. But I'm going to pause for a couple of minutes. And I just want you to close your eyes and pray for a few moments. And I want you to pray, if you would, about what's in your heart. And even when it comes to your generosity and your giving, will you just take a few moments and will you pray about what's in your heart? Let's take a moment.